continuing the theme of Mechirat Chametz, I think that it's worthwhile to make some mention of how exactly the Mechirat is executed. Even though this is primarily an area of concern for the Rav that's in charge of the sale, rather than for the individual Balabatim who are selling their Chametz, nevertheless, I think it's good that people should have an awareness of at least some of the technicalities. So the big issue is that for a sale to be halakhically valid, whatever it is that's being sold has to be purchased with a proper act of what we would call a kinyan, which means that there are certain technical and mechanical requirements that need to be fulfilled. For example, if I just say to a Gentile on Erev Pesach, all my chametz now belongs to you, then it's clear that nothing really has been achieved and the chametz is still going to belong to me. So what we need to establish is to understand what's considered a proper act of kinyan so that the sale is going to be valid. And as we mentioned a couple of days ago, definitely the best halachic way of selling something is that the purchaser should pay money to the vendor and then takes physical possession of the goods in question. So if all I was selling was one bottle of Gemarangi 10-year-old, then it would be very simple. The Nochri would give me £30 or £35 in cash, I'd give him the bottle of whiskey, and he'd take it away with him, or drink it on the spot. And that would all be good. The problem is that, of course, with a communal mechira, this is going to be impossible. There's a large amount of chametz in lots of different places. It's totally worth, you know, in total it's worth, you know, maybe several thousand pounds. So I'm unlikely to find a nochri who'll go round on Erev Pesach to, say, 300 households or whatever the number is, physically load up the chametz onto his truck, and then pay me several thousand pounds. So how are we going to overcome the problem? So in halakha, there are actually various different ways in which you can transact a sale, not just in the way that I've described. And one of the big questions is, are all of these various ways, are they effective when the purchaser is a nochri? And predictably, of course, there's a machloket poskim about at least several of them. And this is the reason why we try to execute as many different forms of kinyan as possible so that we can be certain that at least one or other of them will be effective. So what is it that we do? Well, firstly, and most straightforwardly, we do what's called kinyan kesef, where the nochri makes a down payment for the chametz that he's acquiring. He gives me money, and that affects the kinyan. But there's a machloket amoraim in the Gemara in Masechet Brachot, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, about whether kinyan kesef by itself is an effective means of kinyan for a nochri. And then there's also a machloket rishonim about how we paskin. But because some poskim do hold that it's good, so we do this as one of the forms of kinyan on Erev Pesach. And as I mentioned, kinyan kesef doesn't mean that the full price of the sale has to be paid at the outset. It's enough that the Gentile purchaser should make a down payment of at least one pruta, which is a very small amount of money, and then he owes the rest of the money to be paid in due course. And it's also worth flagging up, I think, that as far as this sort of kinyan is concerned, some poskim hold that the nochri has to pay at least a pruta for each person that he's buying chametz from. So if he's buying from 100 families, he's going to have to pay more than just £1, and some rabbonim are makpid to make sure that in actual fact this is the case. The second type of kinyan that we do is what's called kinyan sudar, where the purchaser hands an item of his to the vendor, and then when the vendor receives it, the goods that are being sold, they move into the possession of the purchaser. And again, there's a machloket poskim whether or not this sort of kinyan is effective with the nochri. The shach in Choshen Mishpat, Simon Kuf Kaf Gimel Sivkatan Lamed, is masupak about it. But because many poskim hold that it's good, so we do this one as well. And then a further kinyan is what's called kinyan situmta, which basically means that anything that's normally accepted means of indicating that the sale's been formalized, it has halachic validity. So one of the forms of kinyan situmta is mentioned by the poskim that tkiat kaf works, a handshake. Not just a good morning handshake, but a handshake that's showing that the two parties have just concluded a sale. Again, there's a whole discussion in the poskim about whether this works, especially since this form of kinyan might only be valid midrabanan. Of course, the issur of chametz is doraita. But in case it does work, and in case the other methods don't work, So we do this as well. And there are also a number of other kinyanim that we incorporate. There's kinyan chatzer, meaning that the area where the chametz is stored is sold or rented to the Gentile, and then he acquires the chametz because it's now in his property. And there's also kinyan agav karka, which is similar to the kinyan chatzer, but different. In this case, the nochri, he buys or rents an area of real estate, and he's also able to simultaneously acquire specified metaltalin, i.e. movables, in this case the chametz, even though it might be in a totally different location. And then there's also kinyan shtar, where a shtar or a document attests to the fact that the chametz is being sold, again with an associated machloket poskim, about how and whether it's effective. And many people, I'm sure, have seen the shtar that the Rav fills in for the mechirat chametz. And the question is, how exactly does it work? Generally, there's no such thing as kinyan shtar for metaltalin. So maybe this works as a way of selling the karaka for kinyan chatzer, or maybe it's effective as a further form of kinyan situmta, which is what the Aruch HaShulchan maintains, or maybe it's simply what we call a shtar ri'ya, meaning that it isn't actually affecting the kinyan, but it's rather, it's documenting the kinyan and saying that the kinyan's been achieved in other ways. In any event, not every Rav will utilize all of these kinyanim. And for a variety of reasons, different Rabbonim create a different basket, as it were, of kinyanim for their particular Mechirat Chametz. What I wanted to do in this year was to touch the tip of the iceberg of the Choshen Mishpat themes of kinyanim and to share very briefly some of the concerns and considerations that come into play with Mechirat Chametz. Ad kan.